Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granth Raj, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki,
Jai Gopinath.
Okay, what did we discuss last night in the class?
Krishna explained to the gopis why he left them.
Yeah, what did he say?
He left them to increase the intensity of their love for him, and also to glorify them because he gave them a chance to show the world or the whole universe who they are.
Anything else? It's open. Huh? Yeah, good. Anything else? Anything else? He said that.
Krishna tells the gopis how much he loves them, and we get to understand that it's also hurtful for Krishna to be away from them. It's not just
hurting the gopis, it
hurts
him also. He feels the separation. Yeah. Because he reciprocates. Yeah. Okay. So tonight we'll begin chapter 33, which is the last chapter in the Rasa Panchajaya. So what is chapter 33 called? Yes, the Rasa Dance, Rasa Leela, Rasa Krida. So this is the perfection of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Nothing is more satisfying to Krishna himself. Nothing is more satisfying to God himself. It is called Sarva Rasasa. It means out of all of the rasas, it is the highest. It has four components or four divisions. What are the four divisions? The four components. Why are you too late? Nonsense. Get your act together, Milagopa. Don't come this late. There's no reason for it. You're just sitting at home eating too many doshas. Okay. So what are the four components of that? I mean, there's four, like, divisions. When we speak about Rasa Leela, and Vishnu said there's four parts to it.
The
dance, yeah. In the forest? Yeah. So what are the four? I've mentioned this already. I mentioned this a few chapters back. So, wandering in the forest, which we saw early on, chapter 29, maybe beginning of 30, and they wandered, just wandering together, that's first, but that's called Rasa Leela. And then when they enter into private groves to perform intimate pastimes, then that is also called Rasa Leela. And then when they perform the Rasa dance, which is what we see in this chapter, this is what this is most commonly what we call Rasa Leela. This is also part of Rasa Leela. And then after, you'll see near the end of the chapter, they enter into the Jamuna to cool off. And it's got Jal Keli. So that is also part of the rasa lila. So they like four components to the rasa lila. So tonight we hear about the most common part that we hear about, which is the dancing between Krishna and the gopis. So, Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, when the cowherd boys, when the cowherd girls heard the Supreme Personality of Godhead speak these most charming words, they forgot their distress caused by separation from Him. Touching His transcendental limbs, they felt their desires fulfilled. So, through this pastime, it's describing very intimate exchanges between Krishna and the gopis. So Krishna, at this point in time, he is satisfying them and pacifying them because they were very upset with him in the previous chapter. And then Krishna was able to explain to them at the end of the previous chapter, between verses 16 and 22, at the end of the chapter, then with his words, he was able to explain to them that actually they are the most exalted of all personalities. There's no one more exalted than the gopis of Vrindavan. They can see the topmost of all the devotees. So because they are so qualified, and they are the topmost devotees, he spoke to them in a very intimate way, and he was able to pacify them and show them that he has selfless love for them, and that also they have selfless love for him. So Krishna and his most intimate devotees are exchanging their deepest sentiments towards each other. So it is showing the perfection of prema, which in the gopis is known as Mahabhava. Mahabhava means the highest levels of prema, or the highest levels of love towards Krishna. So this is only exchanged between Krishna and the gopis. So it is completely selfless love. It is love that has no material contamination, and love that knows no limit and has no boundary and no restriction and is given completely freely from Krishna's heart to the gopi's heart, or from the gopi's heart to Krishna's heart. So Krishna and the gopis have expressed their deepest sentiments of love towards each other. And now Krishna has finally pacified them with his words. He's spoken in such a way that they've become pacified and satisfied with them. So, because they're happy with Krishna at this point in time, it describes they become charmed by his words. So he speaks in such a way as to make their words complete, with his words to make them completely satisfied. And because they are feeling satisfied by his words, which he's spoken at the end of the previous chapter, they begin to touch his transcendental form. And now they want to enjoy the rasa dance with him. So this is brought about the rasa dance. Now it is about to begin. Now the rasa dance is considered the highest of all of the pastimes of Krishna. This will be described in this chapter. It's the topmost pastime. It gives Krishna himself the most pleasure. There's nothing that gives Krishna greater pleasure than the rasa lila. So it is considered sarva rasasa. It is the best of all of Krishna's lila. So now it is beginning to manifest, this pastime. So he's gone deep into the forest on the bank of the Jamuna, and he's about to dance with them. So now he's created the perfect mood. You see, in the last few chapters, he's created a roller coaster scenario with the gopis' emotions. Right? First, he called them to come. Right? And when they arrived, right, then he said, why are you here? And then he pacified them. They wandered through the forest for a period of time. But after wandering through the forest, then Krishna left them, disappeared. And then after disappearing, they went mad and they reached the platform or the stage of consciousness called Unmada. They went into the deepest ecstasies or levels of love of Godhead in separation from Krishna. And then after keeping them away, then they speak the Gopi Gita and they reveal their deepest sentiments, right, in separation from him. Right? And they churn the ocean of rasa to the highest level. And then he appears back before them, but they're still angry with him. And then they speak to him again and they question him. And then he explains to them why it is that he's done everything he has done and how he loves them more than anything else in the creation. He has nothing else in his heart except love for them. That is his deepest sentiment, his feeling for them. So he explains that. He captures their heart with his sweet words, with his love and commitment which he expresses to them. And then they become completely ecstatic. And now they just want to enjoy the rasa dance. And now the rasa dance is about to manifest. So the rasa dance is the topmost pastime. But to get to the point where Krishna will enjoy it the most, he had to create all of these emotional... he had to churn the emotions of the gopis to the highest level. Now he's brought it to the point where it will be the most relishable. Krishna could have simply called them out in the forest. They could have arrived and said, okay, now let's dance. But he had to create all of these sentiments within them and make them experience so much emotion, so now it'll be the most pleasing experience. So Krishna is known as Rasaraj or Rasika Shekha. He has these different names, which means he is the most expert at churning rasa. He is the most expert at creating pleasure, pastimes. But he's done all this just to create the highest pleasure. Nothing is ever straightforward with Krishna. I don't know if you've noticed this in your own life. Is it ever straightforward? Hare Krishna movement is not very straightforward. We tell everyone, you know, just come along, just sing and dance and have some prasadam. But when you get inside it, everything changes. It becomes very complicated. Krishna always deals, he never deals straightforwardly with us. He always twists and turns. And what's that? Yeah, he tries to purify us by testing us constantly, continuously to purify our consciousness. So he's always acting in this way. So it lifts everyone up to the highest level of surrender. Any points?
Krishna likes arguments and counter arguments. He enjoys them most.
How do you know?
Then what are you doing?
What is your praman?
First you put them in your mouth, speech.
Any other point? Yeah, on our level, that's why he does it. But then when you become pure, like the gopis, he still does it in order to intensify their emotion and their attachment. Anything else?
When he does this to them, it's like at the end of it, there's nothing left, just that pure love. Everything else is spent. Their worries, there's
nothing left now, there's just love. Okay. There on the Jamuna's banks, Lord Govinda then began the pastime of the rasa dance in the company of those jewels among women, the faithful gopis, who joyfully linked their arms together. So which name is chosen by Shukadeva in this verse? Govinda. What does Govinda mean? one who gives pleasure to the senses. To the senses of the gopis. Therefore, he is known as Gopinda. What is the name of Rupa Goswami's deity? Radha Govinda. This is a very prominent name of Krishna. And actually, Radha Govinda temple is right where the Rasa Lila takes place in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami, he established that temple right at that place where the Rasa Sali is, where the Rasa dance takes place. So we can see here that on the bank of the Jamuna, which is the most beautiful place in the creation, nowhere is more beautiful than the Jamuna. The descriptions are given there. So at that place, in the bank of the Jamuna, in the forest of Vrindavan, under the full moon night, Krishna begins the Rasa dance in order to give pleasure. So it is the most wonderful place. It is a place which gives the highest pleasure. It says that Vrindavan is so beautiful that even Krishna becomes amazed by Vrindavan. Even he becomes completely captivated by Vrindavan. That's how beautiful Vrindavan is. Because with Vrindavan is his own potency. It expands from Baladev himself. Lord Balaram is his first expansion. Vrindavan is completely expanding from Lord Balaram. So therefore it is considered to be the topmost place for God's pastime. So it is called God's playground. It is created by Krishna himself in order to maximize his pleasure, giving the greatest transcendental pleasure to him and his devotees. So they began the pastime of the Rasa dance in the company of those jewels among women, the faithful gopis who joyfully linked their arms together. So everyone dances in a big circle, Rasa Mandala. Because in the spiritual world, there is no envy. So everyone wants to dance together and share Krishna together. There's that mood of oneness. They're always thinking of each other. Actually, I was reading in Ananda Vrindavan Champu that Srimati Radharani, when Krishna left the other gopis and he went with her, then it was just Krishna and Radha going through the forest. And as Krishna and Radha were going through the forest, then Radharani, she said to him, we read in the Bhagavatam, she said to Krishna, I'm getting tired now, please carry me. And then Krishna became upset. Right? And Krishna said, oh, you're being proud? And then he disappeared from her also. Right? He said, just hop on my back. And then when she went to hop on his back, he disappeared. But actually, Srimati Radharani was thinking, if I say this to him, then he'll leave me also. And if he leaves me, then my friends, the gopis, they won't feel so bad that he is only with me. So let him separate from me also. So she's always thinking of the others, and the others are always thinking of her. That is the mood of the spiritual world. You have to learn this pure state of consciousness. So you don't think about yourself, you always think about the other devotees. So in the Rasa dance, everyone is dancing together. It is synchronized. It is together. Sometimes we see the devotees all around the world in ISKCON. They go in Harinam Sankirtan, they dance on the streets. Fortunately these days, because of the mercy of Indrajumna Swami and others, there's more consciousness or commitment to presentation in the Harinam, at least with the women in ISKCON. You see, when the women go and dance in the Harinam parties, they all dance in a coordinated fashion. Very nice. And then the men, unfortunately, follow behind. And when you see the men, it's like there's no coordination or there's no... It's almost anti-preaching. Yeah, the first half of the movement comes past and everyone becomes attracted, and the second half comes by and they're all over the place. So they're not even looking at each other and they're not dancing together. So not the mood of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everything is coordinated. Everyone dances together. It's described this as a Rasa Mandala. It describes in this verse all the arms of the gopis are linked because they're all dancing together. That's the nature of the spiritual world. We have to learn to cooperate with Krishna. If you want to enter his pastimes, you have to have this cooperative spirit, the servant spirit, the spirit of service. Any points?
In the last line, Sukhdev Goswami says, Ananya Bhadra Bahubi. Ananya Bhadra Bahubi. Joyfully linked their arms together.
Yeah. Any other points?
Krishna is a good about the level. I mean, it's expression of Balram, but Krishna Maharani also does a lot of work. He makes it all looking beautiful and all other is for them and Krishna for them. So, Balram did that.
Yeah, that comes up in the next couple of verses. The festive rasa dance commenced with the gopis arrayed in a circle. Lord Krishna expanded himself. Can we close the door? It's quite cold. Lord Krishna expanded himself and entered between each pair of gopis. And as the master of mystic power placed his arms around their necks, each girl thought that he was standing next to her alone. The demigods and their wives were overwhelmed with eagerness to witness the rasa dance, and they soon traveled the sky with their hundreds of celestial aeroplanes. So we see here that it describes that the rasa dance is a, what are the first words? Rasa utsav. So that means a festival. So it describes that Krishna's lotus feet are a festival, or the cause of a festival for Srimati Radharani and the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan. So wherever Krishna steps, because Krishna is Ananda Chidmaya Ras, which means he is the personification of Ananda or bliss. So wherever Krishna steps, automatically a festival manifests from his ecstatic state of consciousness. So, just being with Krishna, the gopis become absorbed in a mahotsava, which means a ecstatic festival. And they become completely blissful and overwhelmed by the rasa lila. So that is the beginning of the pastime. You need to go? so that is the beginning of the Rasa Lila. It becomes an Utsava, a Mahotsava. Wherever Krishna is, everything becomes blissful, it becomes ecstatic, it becomes festive. So the gopis, they are satisfied perfectly by Krishna. Because what is the nature of Krishna? Krishna wants to satisfy every devotee to the highest level. He wants to make every devotee experience his own bliss. Krishna has a festival in his heart, in his consciousness all the time. He wants every devotee to be drowned, overwhelmed in that festival continuously. So Krishna, in order to satisfy every devotee, because if he was with one devotee and not another devotee, then that devotee would feel dissatisfied. So therefore, in order to satisfy everyone, he simultaneously is with every single gopi. Now, how many gopis are there in this stand?
3 billion.
How many?
3 billion.
Okay. So you can say it first. How many? 3 billion. 3 billion. There are 3 billion gopis. So 3 billion gopis are there. And then Krishna manifests. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, it says in the verse that he's with every gopi, but he's also in the middle. Because there's a big circle, he's in the middle with Radha, with Srimati Radharani. Now, being with Radharani, he also looks around and he sees there's 3 billion gopis. He also wants to satisfy them. So that one Krishna, he moves so quickly, right? It's just one Krishna, but he's moving so quickly between all of them. It appears that he's just standing next to each one of them. So when we finish class and you go into the temple, make sure you offer your obeisances to him. This proves he is God. If you can't surrender at this point right now, you'll never surrender to him. Because no one else can do this. This is unlimited. And that's one reason why his pastime is superior to any other pastime. Even his other incarnations manifest to witness this pastime. It says that when he's with the gopis, he has a shakti with him, because within Krishna, Krishna is avatari, which means all of the other avatars are within him. Lord Ramachandra, Lord Nisringadeva, Matsya Koma, Varaha, everyone is within him. But when he wants to be alone with the gopis, there's a shakti within him which carries out all of the other incarnations. So he can just privately be with the gopis. So then all the other incarnations, they come to the Rasa Lila and they hide in the forest around the Rasa Mandala and they watch the pastime. Because they want to see Krishna with the gopis. Even they are amazed by the Rasa Lila. When they see the whole thing, they think, this is amazing. Only he could do this. Of course, in one sense, they could all do it, but in another sense, they're overwhelmed by the power, the opulence, the sweetness, everything which is simultaneously taking place within this one lila or one pastime. So, Krishna, one Krishna is dancing simultaneously so quickly that every gopi, she thinks he's just next to me. And it says that he's in between each gopi. So the gopi is standing there, she has one gopi on that side, one gopi on that side, and Krishna is in between. But because she's so much absorbed in her relationship with Krishna, she only sees the one Krishna. She doesn't turn around and see there's another one there, she only thinks there's one, and he's only with me. And how does that make you feel? Very special. When he's just there, he's only with you. She thinks, well, he chose me out of 3 billion. But they don't know that he's also with the next one. And she's feeling exactly the same. So he's making everyone feel ecstatic. He wants everyone to feel special. He doesn't want anyone to miss out. He wants everyone to have the highest bliss. Right? And in his original form, not his original form, but in his original position, he's next to Radharani in the center. But then he spreads out. So everyone feels the same ecstasy.
So he creates this festival with every devotee. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, the Rasa Leela is so satisfying and so wonderful and so blissful that even Krishna himself becomes intoxicated by the Rasa Leela. Mm-hmm. Even he is amazed when he sees the whole thing going on. When the gopis arrive, one reason why this is the most amazing pastime, because they all arrive, and then when the Rasa Leela begins, suddenly they all have fresh clothing. Manifested. Everyone has fresh clothing. The most beautiful sari. And all their jewelry suddenly manifests, and they have the most beautiful jewelry. Mm-hmm. And girls feel very special, right? Yeah. Right? Girls, I mean, we don't know because we don't have that body this time, but you know, girls feel very special, right? They like to dress beautifully. They like to wear lots of jewelry. You know, very beautiful, very tasteful, and the most exquisite saris. It makes them feel very pleased. So suddenly, when the Rasa Leela begins, they all manifest. This all manifests for them. And everyone suddenly, and all the incarnations are watching, they think this is amazing. Suddenly everyone just is in there. And all the paraphernalia necessary for the Rasa Leela, you'll hear in a few more verses, they begin to dance with batons. Right? Quite often you'll see Rasa Leela pictures. See if there's any up there. None with the baton. You know, you see with the baton, and everyone's holding the sticks. Yeah, everyone goes. What's that called?
Dandiya.
One person can speak.
They call
Dandiya. And sticks. Yeah, because Danda means stick. So Dandiya. So they have the sticks, and everyone dances with different. Like that. It's kind of like, it's almost like martial arts. Because they're dancing very quickly. In the beginning they dance slowly, but then it gets very quick, and they're dancing. It gives great satisfaction to the gopis and Krishna. So when the Rasa Leela begins, all this paraphernalia just manifests, and suddenly everyone has these batons and the dandiya, and it's like everything just manifests like that. And everyone is just amazed. And it says that it is so amazing. Even Krishna himself is amazed by what goes on. God himself, by the arrangement of his Yogamaya Shakti, it is so wonderful, he sits back when he sees the Rasa Leela and says, this is amazing. Even he is amazed. I mean, in one sense, he did the whole thing. In another sense, he's amazed that it happened. So he becomes completely intoxicated. He thinks this is amazing. You know, it's just like, so you take one of your kids to Disney World. Right? For the kid, that's the Rasa Leela. Right? You tell one of your kids, we're going to take you to Disney World. Right? The kid goes crazy. Right? That's all he thinks about for 6 months. Until he gets, and then when he walks in there, it's like he's just, you know, it's like his topmost vision. There's nothing higher. I'm in Disney World. And he just, everything, like, he's experiencing. So Krishna is feeling intoxicated. He's in the most beautiful place at the most beautiful time with the most beautiful girls, with the most beautiful paraphernalia. And everything is simply there for his pleasure. Right? And he is just feeling, this is amazing. And even he is feeling, I cannot believe all this. That's why this pastime is so exalted. It said this pastime is so exalted, Krishna's incarnations come to see it, but also Krishna's other pastimes, his other leelas, they personify and they come to watch it. Right? And everyone's just standing around the Rasa Mandal and they're all just amazed. Jal Kali comes. The Dan Kali, the Dan Leela. The Leela where he's on the boats with the gopis. All of these other Leelas, they also come and they worship the Rasa Leela. They said, this is the most exalted. We just want to serve this Leela. We just want to
get the mercy of this liver. He just wants to give some service to this liver. So his incarnations, his other pastimes, everything. Everything surrounds this one liver. There is nothing else more exalted. That's why when in Kartik time, we sing the Dhammadharashtra every day. And at the end we say, Namo Radhikayai Twadiya Priyayai Namo Nante Lilaya Tevaya Tuja. Namo na, so we say Namo Radhikaya Twadiya Priyaya. The most exalted thing, the eighth verse speaks of the most exalted person, which is Radharani. But nothing is higher than Radharani. But then the next line says, one thing is higher than Radharani. Right? Namo Nanta Lilaya. When Radha and Krishna are performing Lila together, Rasa Lila, that is the highest. Radharani and Krishna are separate, but when you bring them together and they do Rasa Lila, that is the highest. There's nothing higher. Namo Nanta Lilaya, Devaya Tuvyam. That is the ultimate. That's where everything finishes. After that, there is no more exaltation of pleasure. The pleasure cannot go any higher. It finishes at Rasa Lila. So these pastimes, what we're describing here, these are the highest, highest pastimes of pleasure in the spiritual world. It says that even Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, she performs austerities in Tapovan, on the other side of the Jamuna Srivan, to enter the Rasa Lila, but she cannot enter. All that she can do is she becomes a tuft of hair, so she's there in the Rasa Mandala, and she's watching it all, but that's as much as you can do. You can't actually enter and become a gopi. So it describes that Krishna was dancing, and then who comes in the sky? It says the demigods. So it says there are hundreds and thousands of aeroplanes in the sky. Right? All the demigods are flying, and they just hover in the air, watching the Rasa Lila. So Nandi comes, Lord Shiva's on Nandi, Lord Brahma is on his swan, Indra is on Aryavata. But it says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, they're all looking down, and what do they see? Only 3 billion Krishnas. They can't see the gopis. Because Krishna won't allow them to see the gopis, because if they see the gopis, they will feel lusty, and that would be an offense to Krishna. So therefore, they only see Krishna. So they can see the whole thing down below, and they see 3 billion Krishnas dancing. That's all they can see. They cannot see the gopis. And what it means is that we also will never see the gopis until we become free from lust. When you're free from lust, you'll see the gopis. When you're not free from lust, you can't see. Any points? Well, they're in the Rasa Lila, that's the point.
They're in the Rasa Lila, but they can see only one Krishna next to them. They cannot see the other Krishna. So they didn't see the whole Rasa Lila.
Yeah, they can't see those 3 billion Krishnas. They can't see them. To the other gopis. So they can't see all the Krishnas. It says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that they see Krishna next to them, but sometimes they see he goes out into the middle, which is where he's dancing with Radharani, and then he spins about and does all these amazing dances, and then he comes back with them. Sometimes it's like they see two Krishnas sometimes, but that's as far as it goes. Narad Muni also watches it from the edge of the Rasa Mandala. But he can't enter into the actual. Yeah. He takes the form of a gopi, Naradi, but he can only stay on the edge of the Rasa Mandala.
And then
Lok Maya has apparently made it for this Gopi as a specific. So these three are different realities. Now if you see the end of the comment where it is mentioned that the same Lok Maya also arranged for the demigods not to witness the Gopi, which means Lok Maya is not giving the reality to the absolute reality to the demigods. Whereas the absolute reality is Krishna is the Gopi. So when we reconsider that in the earlier argument where Lok Maya is arranging in such a way as if Krishna is the Gopi, so is actually Krishna is all the Gopi or not?
So then he says, in the commentaries, he answers it, he says, therefore it would, the best explanation, because all three can be considered correct, and all three may have been explained by authorities, but he said the best explanation is there's one Krishna, and he is moving like, with the speed of light, and the speed of mind. He said that's the best explanation, so we'll just stick with that. How he does it, why he does it. And we can't even get up and chant our rounds. Never worried, you know.
Is he actually
I want to know. Is that, what does it matter?
Even
like one sannyasi, he was giving a lecture and he says, you know, devotees come to him and they say, Maharaj, what about this?
And what about that point? What about that point?
He said, but they never come to Maharaj and said, Maharaj, do you want some service? He said, actually, if you want to understand everything, you have to do service. So you sit there and you say, oh, what about this? What about that? You know, but what does it mean anyway? At the end of the day, it's your service attitude which is going to attract Krishna and attract you to Guru and Krishna, get the mercy of the Vaishnava. You know, not that you. You know. So the point is that, you know, it seems the most logical, and it's the most satisfying also, that if he's moving quickly in between all of them, you know, that's the most amazing. One Krishna moving so quickly, that, you know, that's the most amazing. And if he does it the other ways, which he can also do, then that's amazing as well. So, you know, you can choose whichever one you like. I've chosen my one. And then it doesn't really matter so much. More the point is, what is our service attitude? Then we'll understand Krishna and the Gopi. The Vishnava says that's the best explanation of the three. Any other point?
Other incarnations of Krishna are and demigods, they are only witnesses of Krishna. Are there any other devotees who are witnessing this path?
It's only those demigods that came, and it says other exalted personalities have come. It says that the other incarnations have come. It says that the personified pastimes have come. Narad Muni is a devotee, Lord Shiva is a devotee. Narad can see it. Narad can see what's going on. Only Narad. Why are you asking me? How would I know? Is that? I answered your question. I answered your question. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'll explain that in the next couple of verses. That's a good point. Very good point. Any other point?
So, Krishna was with Radharani, but there were all other extensions.
Yeah, well, he's always with Radharani, mm-hmm. But then he sees everyone else is there as well. So, in his heart, he feels, I don't want them to miss out. So then he starts shooting around. I just explained it all. I can't keep it. We explained the same thing seven times. It's one Krishna who's moving very quickly. Or he expands himself. It really doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
The point is the original form is with Radharani.
Mm-hmm.
reason is she didn't want cow dung on her fingers. That's the point. Gobi. She doesn't want the cow dung on her hands. And if you won't put the cow dung on your hands, you can't dance in the Rasa Leela. That is the actual answer. Okay? That might get you a little bit of the way. Not going to take you the whole way. I live at a farm, I can't see the Rasa Leela. I watch a Giriraj every day, I still can't see the Rasa Leela. So, you know, Rasa Leela is, it's so exalted. You have to be free from calm when you're free from calm. It doesn't matter where you live. You can live here in the city, but you have to become free from. Okay. Kettle drums then resounded in the sky, while flowers rained down and the chief Gandharvas and their wives sang Lord Krishna's spotless glories. A tumultuous sound arose from the armlets, ankle bells, and waist bells of the gopis as they sported with their beloved Krishna in the circle of the Rasa Dance. So, what's being described here is the topmost musical and dramatic performance. It is the highest level of musical excellence. It is the highest level of natavara, or the art of dancing. So, Lord Krishna, he is showing the highest levels of everything. And the gopis are the most expert. It says the Gandharvas, while they're watching this, and the apsaras, they're watching this from the sky, and they try to emulate, and they're studying very carefully the way Krishna is dancing, the way the music is being performed, the entire performance of the Rasa Leela. They get to a point where they just fold their hands. They say, this is beyond our comprehension. How super excellent all of this is. So it describes when the Rasa Leela begins, Radha and Krishna, they go into the forest and they sit down. And Krishna picks up his flute. And Radharani picks up her favorite instrument, which is called the Veena. So she begins to play the Veena and he begins to play the flute. And in the beginning they're playing very slowly, very beautifully, and it's a musical accompaniment. And then the other gopis join in, they begin to play instruments also. And then the manjaris come, the maidservants, and they also begin to perform. So it's a concert which begins to be performed. And then Radha and Krishna, they increase the tempo, and then it becomes a little faster. So then Krishna stands up, and he's playing the flute, and he begins to dance a little. And then Radharani puts down the Veena, she stands up and she also begins to dance. So then the dancing continues. And then the gopis join and they all start to stand up and dance. And the manjaris, the younger gopis, they stand around and they continue to play the musical instruments while Radha and Krishna and the gopis begin to dance. So then the Rasa Leela begins, and then it becomes more and more enthusiastic. Then the gopis and Krishna, they begin to dance more dramatically. And then they are dancing together, and it becomes very, very blissful. And the tempo goes up and up, and it becomes faster and faster. And then this goes on for a night of Brahma. So they're dancing for like, it's almost like they're dancing for millions of years. Right? And it just keeps going. And then it goes so fast in the end that everyone is just dancing in ecstasy. And everyone's spinning and twirling, and Krishna's dancing with all the gopis, and everyone's just an unbelievable performance. And then when it gets to its crescendo, when it gets to like the highest level, then they make a circle. They're already in a circle, but they make a perfect circle. And then they begin to do solo performances. So then each of the gopis comes out. Sudevi, Rangadevi, Induleka, Tungavidya, Chitra, Chambakalata, Lalita, Vishaka. So they've all come out and they all do their performances. And then finally, Shrimati Radharani comes out. Right? And then she does her final dancing performance, and everyone is just amazed. And it says that there's one particular spin that she does where her braid, the braid of her hair, goes right down her back near her knees. Right? So she leans back, and then it forms, she arches her body like a bow, and then that's like the string of a bow is her braid, and somehow she catches on her foot, and then she spins around and around and around. Right? So then she finishes, and everyone says, Radhe, Radhe. And all the gopis are amazed by her dancing. But Krishna says, I can do better than this. So then, Nataraj, Krishna himself, goes in, and then he does the most amazing dance, solo performance. And then he stops. Right? And everyone looks at him in amazement. And then Radha comes out, and then they do it together. The final dance, just the two of them. Right? And everyone is just amazed. And all the gopis and all the mandaris are around them. They're just dancing in ecstasy. And everyone's just spinning and twirling. And they're coming in and out in a circle. Right? Radha and Krishna in the center, they're just coming in and out in a circle, doing the most amazing dances. And at that point, then Krishna just looks around. And he just thinks, I cannot believe this. Even Krishna himself. Krishna of Chakravarti Thakur says at the end of the chapter, Krishna feels like he's a puppet. He goes, I'm just a puppet in a drama. You know, and this is all going on. He says, it's beyond my wildest imagination how beautiful this could have been. Right? So that is the Rasa Leela, the topmost of all the Lord's titles. Everything. Yeah. What is that?
No, it says Radharani Devi there. Yes.
Yeah.
What is Krishna Devi?
I can't tell you. If I told you, you would faint. Okay. In the midst of the dancing gopis, Lord Krishna appeared most brilliant, like an exquisite sapphire in the midst of golden ornaments. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, in Dwarka, Krishna is perfect. In Mathura, he is more perfect. And in Vrindavan, he is most perfect. So now you're seeing God in his most intimate setting. So he is the most perfect. So it says that at this point in time, he looks like an emerald. Because right? What color is Krishna? Emerald. No, emerald. Okay, I'll prove why. Okay. What color is Krishna?
Gray.
It's the color of a sapphire. Right? What color is a sapphire? Blue. Right? And he's next to the gopis. What color are the gopis? Golden. And what happens when you mix yellow and blue? Green. So at the moment he looks like a sapphire. I'm sorry, a emerald. Right? He is greenish. Because the yellow, right, of Radharani's effulgence, the gopi's effulgence, is touching his blue and he's turning like a greenish color. This beautiful spinning greenish boy who is spinning in between all of the gopis. Krishna Chandra Bhagavan. Okay. As the gopis sang in praise of Krishna, their feet danced, their hands gestured, and their eyebrows moved with playful smiles. With their braids and belts tied tight, their waists bending, their faces perspiring, the garments on their breasts moving this way and that, and their earrings swinging too, swinging on their cheeks. Lord Krishna's young consorts shone like streaks of lightning in a mass of clouds. So, Krishna's is the supreme male. He is the most beautiful cowherd boy. And the only women in the whole of creation who can match Krishna and are his equal are the gopis of Vrindavan, and in particular Srimati Radharani. They're the only people who are actually his equal. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says that the queens of Dwarka, they are with him. And Rukmini says, when he's asleep, he's in Dwarka and he's laying next to me, but in his dreams, he is saying, he is sleepwalking, and he says, O Radha, O Lalite, O Bishake. And Satchabhama says, you fool. Not only when he's sleeping, when he's awake, he sits next to me, but then he daydreams and he says, O Radhe, O Lalite, O Bishake. So even though he's living in Dwarka, he's not even in Dwarka. In his consciousness, he's always in
Vrindavan.
So only the gopis can satisfy him, no one else. And actually, he says to Satchabhama, there's one conversation in pastime, and he says, Krishna says to Satchabhama, he says, you proud princess, you proud girl. He said, the only reason I stay with all of you queens is because you remind me of the gopis in Vrindavan. He said, just because you remind me, because your beauty is something like that. I mean, imagine how Satchabhama would feel.
Crushed.
Yeah, he said. Because he's putting everything in perspective. It's only the gopis who can satisfy him. No one else. Not even the queens in Dwarka. They're the only people. And out of everyone, the only person who can satisfy him is Srimati Radharani. And Jiva Goswami says, she is so complete and so perfect, Krishna doesn't even need anyone else. We're just extras. Right? And we're just out of their mercy, out of Radha's mercy and Krishna's mercy, we're allowed to participate. Right? It's only because they're merciful that they allow us to all come and serve. Krishna doesn't even need us. He could just live in Vrindavan with Radharani and he would be happy. Right? But then Radha thinks, wouldn't it be nice if I could share Krishna with others? And Krishna knowing Radha's heart, then he says, okay, everyone else can offer them. So actually, we're all just meant to assist, that's all. Okay. So in the Sanskrit of verse 7, what are the gopis called? It is said that they are called Vatu. Vatu means?
Wife.
So they are called the wives of Krishna. But then, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, but not that they're actually married. Parakya Bhav stands supreme in Vrindavan. So there's no marriage of Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. So even though they're called Vatu in this wife, in this verse, the reason they're called wife is because they are Krishna's eternal consorts. So they're like his wife. But Vishnu says, but always remember they're not married. Because if they get married, then Parakya Bhava is not there and the pleasure goes down. So Parakya Bhava is always supreme. It is always superior to Swakya. Eager to enjoy conjugal love, their throats colored with various pigments, the gopis sang loudly and danced. They were overjoyed by Krishna's touch, and they sang songs that filled the entire universe. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, how many ragas are there? 8,400,000. So there are 8,400,000 different ragas or melodies that the gopis can sing in and the Krishna can sing in. And of the 8,400,000, 16,000 are supreme or are special. So every night in the rasa dance, which goes for a night of Brahma, they sing 16,000 different ragas or mellows. Right? And each raga has its particular mellow, which brings a particular mood and satisfaction to Krishna. It's very intricate. Right? We become proud because we know five ways to sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We actually do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Yeah, then we think, oh, I know that one, and now I also know this one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I also know this one. That's what we think, and we get proud. Yeah, and then I think, oh, which one are we going to sing in the kirtan? Yeah, the gopis know 16,000. So if they came, we'd just be like, oh. Yeah, we don't even know any tune. So we get proud. And, oh, I know this one, I know that one. And, one gopi joining Lord Mukunda in his singing sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, excellent, excellent. Then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. So it is described that Krishna stopped singing to listen to the two gopis sing. The first gopi who is mentioned is Vishakha, because she spoke beautifully, she sang beautifully. And then another gopi sang that even more expertly, that was Lalita, to satisfy Krishna. They're the most expert. No one can sing as beautifully as these gopis. When one gopi grew tired from the rasa dance, she turned to Krishna, standing at her side, holding a baton, and grasped his shoulder with her arm. The dancing had loosened her bracelets and the flowers in her hair. This particular gopi's name is Radharani. She's tired. If she dances, the rasa dance starts. If she stops, the rasa dance stops. So if she stops, what does that mean? If she's tired, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's obvious, but what does it actually mean? What's she thinking? Yeah, she's thinking Krishna must be tired. Right. If she's tired, that means she's just thinking Krishna must be tired. Krishna won't stop, and if I say I'm tired, he will stop. Right. So she acts like she's tired. Because right. She's thinking, oh, Krishna must be tired. He's been dancing now for so long. He needs to rest. We don't want to push him. Right. So she says, I'm tired now. She puts her hand on his shoulder. I'm tired now. Right. Upon the shoulder of one gopi, Krishna placed his arm, whose natural blue lotus fragrance was mixed with that of sandalwood pulp anointing it. As the gopi relished that fragrance, her bodily hair stood on end in jubilation, and she kissed his arm. So which gopi was that? Remember we said in the last chapter there were eight principal gopis. What were their names? Chandravali? Radharani, Saibya, Bhadra, Padma, Vishakha, Lalita, Shamasaki. So which one is it? Chandravali? Huh? Who is it? Huh? Think back to the last chapter when they were mentioned. Who did exactly the same thing in the last chapter? Shamasaki. Very good. Shamasaki. She did the same thing. Remember she came to Krishna? She mentioned to him? When she when they saw him appear again, she came and went straight into him. So she did it again this time. That's what she does. So she went into him like that. So this is Shyamala Sakhi. Or Shyama Sakhi. Next to Krishna's cheek, one gopi put her own, beautified by the effulgence of her earrings, which glittered as she danced. Krishna then carefully gave her the betel nut he was chewing. So which gopi was that? Shaibya. Shaibya. So he gave her the betel nut he was chewing. It was in his mouth, so he kissed her, and as he kissed her, he pushed the betel nut into her mouth. So sweet. This is the first time. This is after the rasa dance. So this is Shaibya Sakhi. So that's all for tonight. If you'd like to hear any more, please come next week. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Prabhupada.
Ki jai.